Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Guillermo Mash here, welcoming you to the May 30th edition of the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And this show is all about next Tuesday, the two big events. Chico, what is, of course, the primary election. And get out and vote, man. Rock the vote. Get out and see that, too. That's coming up on Sunday down in the plaza. But of equal breath, as far as poverty, the worst form of violence, Chico City Council, man, we've got some things on the calendar around criminalizing the fact that you're poor and in public space. And that's what this program's all about today. And actually Monday. So I'd actually had some folks, huge shout out, Lisa Currier. Love Lisa Currier, Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage. She did an interview for me that I was hoping to air today, but I'll get more into that here in a second. But biggest shout out for my dear friend, Tammy Donaldson. You want to know how to solve homelessness? Ask Tammy Donaldson and do whatever she says with vigor. She had some words, beautiful words she had thumbed up for the show. And we're going to read those next week. But until then, I can say that Tammy Donaldson, certainly the acronym she would have for what you're going to hear in this show around quote-unquote asinine ordinances that were proposed by Chico first. I think FTS covers it, and that doesn't stand for favorite TV show. Coming up first, Angela McLaughlin from North State Voices and part of Chico Friends on the Street. And after Angela, we're going to actually talk with the Chico Friends on the Street, Robert Jones and the founder Patrick Newman, around these quote-unquote top 10 make Chico great ordinances here on People Power Radio. So I'm here with Angela McLaughlin with North State Voices. It's a monthly column she does in the Enterprise Record. Welcome to KZFR, Angela.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. How could people read your column? You have a blog, right?
I do have a blog. It's at www.out-beyond.com. So I post most columns there after they've been published. So that's an easy spot to grab them, and it's free.
What would you say around this whole city council meeting that's coming up and give folks a really good reason why they need to be there?
There are so many good reasons. It's hard to know where to start. Sit-lie is probably the most egregious thing that should be on the agenda. The agenda has not yet been released. It ought to be out today. But it's expected that sit-lie will be back on the agenda as an individual item. Sit-lie basically criminalizes sitting or lying down, and it's used as a tool. It's kind of legal profiling. It's probably best shorthand for this. People can be harassed and cited for sitting or lying down, and for folks that are living on the street, that doesn't affect most of us, but for folks that are on the street, it basically makes it illegal for them to rest. It's pretty regressive, it's pretty punitive, and it really doesn't serve anyone. It just adds to the general misery of the population. Of course, there are a lot of folks that like it because it's used as a tool to force people to leave the public space, and so they can be out of sight and out of mind. But for the rest of us, we should really be advocating vocally against this.
You know, what I find fascinating is the human nature of Angela, of just ignoring what you don't want to hear. But Robert Marbit, whom I disagree with on about 80% of some of the work he's done, but he comes out real strong saying criminalization doesn't work unless we start housing people. With the current fiscal crisis, it's going to get worse and worse. But it seems like the conservatives, they don't want to hear that part. They just want to hear, you know, oh, having the Jesus Centers attracting people here to Chico. Maybe you could talk a little bit about this whole magnet theory.
Yeah. Well, you know, it really is truly outrageous. I've had a lot of folks tell me in the last several months that we are drawing the homeless here with our benefits and our friendly city. Boy, that's not the case. I think the homeless well know that they are despised here. And in addition, I've tried to pin down what benefits exactly it is that they're getting. And I got to tell you, there's nothing. Like one guy that was particularly aggressive with this line of questioning, telling me that people are drawn here for the benefits. And I finally nailed him down. He said bologna sandwiches, cigarettes, and panhandling. And I'm like, you could get that stuff in any city. I mean, it's just outrageous. That's not enough to draw somebody to Chico.
Back when they were actually doing the whole sit and lie 4 years ago, there was a police officer that got up and made a statement. And that's what really upsets me when the police, it must be true, the police said it, that we are attracting people because of our services. Similar story, Angela. I went outside during the break. It was a respectful conversation, but I had to keep drilling and drilling and drilling. And finally he said, the services are, it's too easy to get food here. And all I did was say, thank you very much. Now I understand where you're coming from, which is absurd. Here we are in a farming community and we're supposed to, you know, not give people food. That's how we're going to solve the problem of homelessness.
Yeah.
Any closing comments, Angela? Maybe give us a little insight on the city council and where people need to be. Huh?
Well, lots of angles on this. Whether you can or can't make it to the actual meeting on June 5th, it would be very, very useful if you send an email to the council members ahead of time to make them aware before the actual time of the vote that there's a lot of community concern around this issue. Secondly, though, if you can make it to the council meeting, you don't have to be a great public speaker. It can be two sentences, but show up, put in a speaker card, and speak about this ordinance or the agenda item, and let them know that you have concerns about this.
Yeah, maybe the only thing I saw that they were going to agendize is the shelter crisis. Why don't we just start with that and move on, huh?
No kidding.
All right, Angela McLaughlin, thanks again.
All right, thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you chat out for Angela McLaughlin. It's always a pleasure to have her in the studio, and I really appreciate all the work she does on the streets and for Safe Space and beyond. Always a pleasure to have you, Angela McLaughlin, shifting gears. Next up is an interview I did. I did about 90 minutes worth of interviews around some shows I had aired, and I've actually aired part of these interviews since. But about 3 months ago, the whole gorilla feeding thing that kind of blew up downtown. And anyway, what you're going to hear right now is part of that interview session, and it's around the quote-unquote top 10 manifesto list by the Chico First group. Admin is actually Rob Berry and the manager of that group, so it's Rob Berry's list, essentially, of, you know, how we can make Chico great again. And no further ado, Robert Jones, Patrick Newman, Chico Friends on the Street, here on Peep Power Radio.
So let's take a look at the opposite end of the spectrum for a second and see maybe what's happening in our Chico culture, where if there was some kind of a, you know, a spectrum to look at, the kinds of things we've been saying are at one end, and then there's quite a strong, there's a set of strong voices at the other. We talked about the community court a minute ago and some certain initiatives in the city, and also lots of criminalization laws that have been passed, kind of policing that we're doing now. And then there's kind of some citizens groups that are working on that at the other end of the issue also. And one of them is this thing called Chico First, which is was started by Rob Berry, who's a retired attorney. And this list was sent to me by a friend and also Bill, and it's off of Facebook. And it talks about what he says are city ordinances worth considering. So there's 1 through 10. And what they are is they're all ways of really trying to push forward the agenda of more demonization, more criminalization, more deprivation, and ultimately, I think, containment of people. So they're interesting to look at. And there's 10 of them. They're on Facebook. I think you can go on Facebook and find it at Chico First. I'm not a Facebook person, but anyway, if you want to look this up for yourself. City ordinances worth considering. Number one, shopping cart control. So, wow.
Can I add something to that real
fast?
Yes,
please.
I love adding stories. I can't believe this lady, beautiful baby at Safeway. She's like all panicked. And I'm like, what's up? Can I help you? She said, I can't get my cart out of the store. The wheels are locked. That's what we're talking about here. Shopping cart control.
So as a what I'll call it a cleanser, like when you look at this issue and you think, how do I make this all go away without digging into the issues of social justice at any sort of, you know, deeper level? You look at symptoms on the most superficial level and you see something like shopping carts that are being appropriated by people who need them to move their stuff around, and you target that. So I think that's a deprivation issue. It's a demonization and a deprivation issue. Well, it's a criminal issue too. Shopping carts, they all kind of come together there, because you're going to demonize people for using the carts as you see them pushing them down the road. You're going to criminalize them for taking it, and you're going to deprive them because actually, I mean, I'm sure there's a better way, but when I see a person pushing a shopping cart, I don't think, oh my God, you know, Safeway Corporation, just their bottom line is going to be reduced by 0.00001%. I think, oh, there's a person that's probably got some kind of disability and they're pushing a cart, and isn't it horrible that that's all we can do for them? So anyway, that's just to look at shopping carts one way versus the other has a lot to do with what we've been talking about why these people are there and whether we're demonizing them or not. So the second one is dumpster security, which I guess he means make an ordinance that we lock up all dumpsters so that no one can get the food out of them.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, please.
I love telling stories. If I ever retire, I'm just going to tell stories, because this was last night. I literally heard someone going through the dumpster, and I know a lot of these folks and what they're dealing with, and I'm like, wow, I can't imagine being that person, but I'm glad they're able to pull a few bottles out of there and get some money. Yeah. But I don't understand how someone could. It wasn't really loud. It was just that I could hear the jingling. But I just really feel for people that have so much hate and anger in their heart that they're ready to call 911 to figure out why that person is going through the trash versus, wow, what a lousy place to be.
Yeah.
At one in the morning.
Right. It's a really different.
And they come around at one in the morning so that no one bothers them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the coolest people you meet are rocking around one in the morning with no other thing to do to get money and food on their plate, but to look for bottles.
So this would be he says city ordinance is worth considering, right?
Yeah.
So then if we're talking dumpster security, what does that mean? An ordinance that it's an infraction to leave my dumpster unlocked?
Well, we could go with the gun thing. Maybe he wants me to have a gun in my home so I can open the door and protect the dumpster. I don't know.
That would be negligence if you didn't protect your dumpster.
Exactly.
From someone. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, these things are – okay, so then number three – non-interference with city employees and agents. I don't know what he's talking about there exactly, but probably people like us walking up and wanting to be a part of the conversation when...
Maybe even this radio show.
Law enforcement is at work.
Are we interfering a little bit with Chico First kind of saying, hey, I don't agree with what you're saying? That's
possibly so. Do you
want
to chime in on any of these, Rob?
Well, I did want to mention that, one of them on here, right, is food exchange ordinance.
Yeah.
I think that's Orwellian doublespeak, right?
Yeah,
I think what
five,
that means is...
Exchange.
Making it a criminalizing giving food to people. So in other words, it would be a crime for me to hand out food to anyone on the street. Now, Mr. Berry, he apparently is an attorney. Well, here's what I'd like to say to Mr. Berry is I would love the opportunity to have the courts hear an ordinance. I'd like to see how, if this could be held up in court, that I cannot hand out food to a person in the public on the public space. Of course, yes, maybe I can't go in my kitchen and, you know, and open up a business without having licenses. But you mean to tell me if I go in and I buy a power bar at the 7-Eleven and I walk outside and Patrick, I hand it to you, that I've committed some kind of crime? Boy, I would love the opportunity to challenge that in court.
Can I add some color to that one? I'm the color guy.
Hey, you know what, Bill? I just thought about it. You're the Studs Terkel of Chico. I love that.
I'll have to Google that. I like having to Google some. I see some irony here, because I've actually been to Terry Dubose. She's out there in public space, but she's been doing it for like a year or so, somewhere around there. She has this whole picnic in the plaza, but that's where people come together and have food in the plaza. And I've actually physically seen them sharing food in the plaza. Oh, you want some of mine? You want some of, you can have a little bit of mine? Oh, I've got pizza. Actually, they brought pizza one day. They're all handing out pizza. Mm. I just see, I can't come up with a better way to kind of contrast what we have here than that group of people showing up thinking that they are somehow the elite that can share pizza in the plaza, but people that actually don't have the money to buy the pizza or the means to get the pizza are the criminals that need to be removed. It's stunningly ironic. It's stunningly ironic to me. Would you call me again? I'm gonna steal that.
You're the Studs Terkel of Chico.
All right.
Just look up Studs Terkel, since you're a storyteller and you tell stories of and for and about the people.
That's a wonderful thing. Thank you for that, Robert. I'll be a Studs.
So, well, when we started this thing a little over 2 years ago, every Sunday, I went to the city previous to that and asked them, how do you define an event? And they told me if you set up equipment and advertise, that's an event. So we've never set up equipment and we don't advertise. So then, you know, the way that they've shut down like Food Not Bombs in certain cities is because they've set up equipment. So they have a table and there's, you know, they're feeding people, yada, yada, yada. If it came down to the question Robert just asked, okay, I made a bag lunch. It's in a bag. I'm handing it to someone in the public space, whether it's my friend, my family, a person who's just walking by. These seem like very difficult things to try to enforce or create laws around, but I think they're going to try. I've been hearing rumors. Not only that, but before I forget, I heard a rumor that Rob Berry has actually been videotaping our Sunday gatherings.
He did. That's why we started that, you know, the conversation that aired on another show.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from, but I have not seen him, but that doesn't mean he's not there somewhere.
I want to land on Food Not Bombs really quick because it was a point that Robert had made right on the money. Let's see you try to see if this is constitutionally sound. But by and large, not looking at the total scope of Food Not Bombs, but the Food Not Bombs outfits, I did a whole video and went down and did some journalism about 3 years ago in Sacramento. The ones that fight back, they drop the case. Mm. So what they do, the police come through and say, you're breaking the law. But as soon as you kind of dig in and go, oh, no, I'm not, they back away. So they're really trying to take advantage of like enforcing laws that don't exist, you know, of saying you can't do this, you can't do that. But anyway, Food Not Bombs has a history of feeding people. And most of the time, man, if they say I'm not moving, then they stay there.
Yeah, so. I wonder how far we're going to go with this, because I know that there's some traction for this kind of stuff in town. I mean, there's people who want to do all this, so we'll see. But
yeah.
I mean, we've also brought, you know, thousands of pounds of clothing and blankets and toilet paper and toothbrushes, and those aren't food. Can I now, you know, can you make a law saying I can't hand someone a roll of toilet paper in the plaza? Well, that'd be interesting, too. But this is the kind of stuff they want to do. Let's see, there's a curfew on the city plaza, which means restrict hours in the plazas. Because the thing about the plaza, I always go back to the plaza because it's the most visible place where poverty can be seen in Chico. Like you drive by and you look across and it's a kind of a open monolithic landscape now. And it's at the center of town and it has all the symbolism. And so it's kind of like this the little petri dish of what's going on with homelessness. And that's a particularly interesting public space to me. And he mentions it here, curfew on the plaza. I think the fact that we now on Sunday have, you know, yesterday or last Sunday, there was at least 100 people living on the streets who were in the plaza. They were socializing together. We've made it a social event. Well, let's just put the word event in quotation marks, so the city can't come and arrest me for doing it, or us. But
you have no budget for advertising. So
but,
you're
good. Right, right. But the thing is, it's become a kind of gathering place for people who are on the streets on Sundays, and it's a pretty visible one.
And it's a healing one.
And it's a healing one, and to the extent that it's a protest, I think it's working. So I think that really bothers these people. Anyway, prohibition of exchanges from autos on the public street. I don't even know what the hell that's about. 7, permit requirements for gatherings of more than XX people in public places. Well, there we go again. So,
Can I jump in here for a second? You know what? One of the things I'm finding interesting is, and maybe I'm making a poor inference, but I get the feeling if I had to lay money on it that Rob Berry is, I say he's part of, you know, he'd be on the right of the political spectrum. And you know what's interesting is as you read these proposed ordinances from Mr. Berry, these are some of the most anti-American, anti-liberty, this is anti-American to say, to have a requiring permit for gatherings. Wait a second. I'm sure that Mr. Berry is a big advocate of the American Revolution and the Founding Fathers. So maybe the Founding Fathers needed to require a permit for gatherings of more people. So I find it very ironic that in the face of a systemic public failure of neoliberal consumer capitalism, that the response from someone on the right is to curtail our liberties, to curtail our constitutional rights. I think it's ironic, and I think it speaks to the lack of values. People like this, they're not really advocates of free speech, of freedom to assemble, of freedom to use the public space. What they're advocates of is control. What they're advocates of is authoritarianism. So this to me, Anyone with a brain can see through this thinly veiled attack on constitutional rights from someone on the right. So I think, speaking of irony, Bill, I think that's one of the most ironic things I'm hearing when I hear Patrick read through this list.
Can I come up with one word for it all? I'm thinking back. God rest your soul, Grandma. But, you know, in the 60s, one of my favorite words that the adults started to pass around going, I think I'm going to keep that and use that. And I'm still using it. I'm 58. Asinine. Asinine's the word. Look that one up in the dictionary and apply it to this. So what do you got? What do you got, Patrick?
I'm well, it's not only asinine. It's really scary because I'm really glad that Robert brought this up, because this is a major issue that we don't talk about enough. And that is, when you have this kind of wealth distribution and economic injustice in a country, where do you go in order to address it if you're not going to actually address the issue? If you're not going to actually address wealth inequality, you have more and more people, poor people on the streets. You have more and more. So what do? You ramp up the police state. You use more and more authoritarianism. You start to break down your constitution in order to control social problems that emerge because you don't have good wealth distribution and you have more and more people in deprivation. So this might even be the most important issue of all. Because when you look at the constitutional implications of the laws that were passed in 2015 in Chico, you go through them and you look at the sleeping ordinance and the storage ordinance, you know, leaving a cart. These things are gross violations of the Constitution that have never been confronted. And Robert makes a really good point, because every single thing on this list, if you looked at it through a constitutional lens, is clearly not in spirit or within the letter of the Constitution. So, yeah, I mean, it is ironic that you have right-wing people who claim to be defenders of constitutional liberties who are... Because they cannot dig into the issue of social justice and look at economic justice, they're willing to surrender those civil liberties in order to control the symptoms of...
I think we're beating up on the right too much. I'm going to twist it a little bit, and something gets me morally outraged. It's the silence of the left that enables the entire thing to happen. I have never seen... I'm getting morally outraged. Yes. Let me get morally outraged. Yes. I have never seen people more silent on an issue in my life than this one. I mean,
absolutely.
Try to find a working group in Chico that's dealing with human rights, civil rights around poverty, but you can find all the other isms that are physically out there doing their thing, because it's socially acceptable and you get seen. So I find it's almost equal. It's almost equal. If people actually would start to get morally outraged and do something about it, I think we'd be much, much better off. Did you get through the whole 10?
You're absolutely right
on
that.
Did we get through 10?
Bill,
did we get through them all? I don't even know if we got through them. We didn't even get through them all. And we're morally outraged.
Bill, I do. Look, you raised an excellent point in that. Here's the thing about the right: just comes out and says, you know, you have Trump, who's just a bald-faced racist.
And pretty much.
So he just comes out and says that. Here's the thing. At least on the right, you know who your enemy is. The problem that I have with folks on the left is that they don't want to be inconvenienced. But not only do they not want to be inconvenienced, they want to do, you know, what in the popular vernacular is, you know, virtue signaling. So they want to do those actions that confer upon them some kind of status as like social justice do-gooders. But in doing that, it's sort of like, what's the minimum action I can do to gain the accolades for being on the right side of this issue, but at very little sacrifice to myself? And you know, I'm painting with a broad brush, and there are people who we all know in the community who are wonderful, working at Safe Space. All, you know, people are putting it on the line every day.
Yeah, we're saying broad brush on the right too, I think.
What I want to touch on, Bill, that you brought up is, there are certain issues on the left that when you attach yourself publicly to them, then your capital increases as a leftist. And let me just say, all of those issues are legitimate issues that one should be attached to. But there are issues in our culture that don't confer on you this kind of shiny leftist sheen, and that is homelessness. Issues like homelessness, that's not one of the issues where when you attach yourself to it, you get all this cred. So part of the problem is, as you mentioned, Bill, the sort of apathy, the lack of action on the left with regard to the issue of poverty, with regard to the issue of class, with regard to the issue of insecurity and homelessness. Those issues, they don't provide you with that sheen of grooviness that people on the left are seeking. So here's what I ask you to do. Do this. Come out to the plaza. Come out, spend time on the plaza. And regardless of whether or not your name ends up in the paper, regardless of whether or not you gain leftist capital from this, come out and meet the people. Come out and talk to the people. Now, there are certain issues, Bill, and we've talked about this before, and Patrick and I, it's like there are certain issues where everyone on the left seems to coalesce and come out. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful that there's Me Too. It's wonderful that there's people out there for Desmond Phillips. Those are wonderful things. But what I want to say is this issue that you walk down the street here in Chico and we have fellow brothers and sisters, citizens here who are sleeping in the street. Where's the moral outrage on the left? Where are you? Come out. Come out and support people in the plaza.
One thing. Thank you for that, Robert. Thank you, folks who are joining. We're talking with Robert Jones and Patrick Newman from Chico Friends on the Streets. But I want to give some advice. And the most important thing about advice is how I react when people don't take it. But we're missing huge opportunity here because Gandhi, it's like a quote that I've been using for four and a half years. Poverty is the worst form of violence. So folks that are working social justice issues or issues that might be related to the environment, that might be related to animals, they might just add. If you can't get the society as whole to look at a problem and to deal with the problem of the people that are in your community that are poor and living outdoors, you are fooling yourself to think that you're going to make big changes on these other issues. And if you look at the actual history of the United States, where we made the biggest inroads in physically egalitarian and giving people for the people, of the people, by the people, was when we had that ability to say, we're going to lift people up. We understand we have a responsibility, aka post-depression. So that's where I kind of get morally outraged. I just see that, you know, we need to see more people work on this poverty issue, folks that are listening.
forgive me, but I have to go back 4 years and say that, I mean, when the Orchard Church was bumped off the plaza, that was a highly symbolic thing for me. And I think if 1,000 people in Chico had stood with them and said, no, we're not going to let that happen, then the last 4 years of regressive history that we've seen would also not have happened. So every time one of these things happens and people stand down and don't get vocal enough and don't stand with the people who are in the public space, that signals compliance, it signals willingness, it signals capitulation to the city, and they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So that's where this whole list from Rob Berry, it comes back to that. Like, he's just trying to see how much traction this stuff has. He's throwing it out there and he's looking, he's asking for responses. He wants to know, like, whether the community will stand up, will stand against any of this. There's plenty of people who are excited about it. The question is, how many people are excited about not letting it happen? And I've been more frustrated with the left than the right, frankly. So I agree with you on that. But
we got through the 10, though, right?
No, we're on number 8.
Amazing.
But I'll try to make it quick. What's a wobbler? Making all public safety and quality of life ordinances wobblers, in quotes. And then it says infraction or misdemeanor offense. I don't know what a wobbler is, but yeah. I guess it's ramping up criminalization.
Some sort of dog
whistle
term.
9, no loitering near children's playgrounds unless supervised by a child in your custody. So here we go here we go with the demonization thing.
Child
and old, what's his name, who was talking about how homeless men, you know, Marbut. Can't be trusted around children. He has no evidence for
this. You know where I could see this going, guys?
Completely nonsensical.
I see this going. You know, they call it incremental enforcement. So 15 years from now, it may be against the law to go into a church unless you're actually walking in with a Christian. You think it'll go that far?
I think that's where we're headed. So there we go. That's got demonization, criminalization, all, and deprivation, because now a homeless person can't be in a playground or a park. So they're deprived of that space on the basis of demonization angle that says we can't allow them to be around. I mean, oh my God. Okay, so
it's
10,
kind of crazy, huh?
Improper use of storage units, i.e. for habitation and illegal purposes. I guess somebody somewhere must have let a homeless person sleep in their abandoned storage unit in their backyard, and Rob's got a problem with that too.
So anyway, this list of 10 is a nice little, actually, description of the kind of mindset that we have here with this approach that's, you know, really, it's got demonization, yeah, criminalization, deprivation, and yeah, and I'm sure he's all for containing people. So it's there in spades.
This is a promise for the listening audience, because I know the listening audience, there's a lot of young folks, but, you know, average is a lot, they're a lot older. I need to do something fun with this. And I am promising now, because when I promise on the radio, it forces me, it makes me more morally outraged to do it. David Letterman, top 10. I'm going to turn this into a David Letterman top 10 skit. And I know the comedians in town, and we're going to have a ball with this. So thank you, Mr.
The material's there.
Material's there. Thank you, Rob Berry, for the asinine material that you've posted in public space that we are going to add a comedic bent to.